I'm Terry Clark, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, Country Gold Backstage.
You're listening to Country Gold. I'm Terry Clark, and joining me via the internet is my buddy Jamie O'Neill. Hey, thanks for being here, Jamie.
Thank you, Terry, for having me on today, despite all the difficulties.
I know, right? Technical. You are just referring to yourself as an 80-year-old. I know some 80-year-olds that are better at this than you, actually.
It's so true.
Well, for those of you who are just tuning in, we had some technical difficulties hooking up, and there was this huge delay, so we were hearing two Jamies and two Terrys, and we could just start a whole new country group, an all-female group with the delays.
Oh, my God. Well, nobody needs two Jamies, I can tell you that.
Same here. So we spoke back in April as the pandemic was starting. So how was your summer? And I guess it's got to be pretty different without the fairs and festivals and tour dates and such that we were used to doing.
It's terrible. Well, I'm amazed that we're still laughing all these months later I think we're just going crazy and delirious. That's why we're laughing. But yeah, I remember that. I was saying to you, I'm pretty sure I'm still coming to Canada in July. And you're like, no, you won't be.
I remember that. Yeah, I said that.
And I'm like, what? What is Terry Clark telling me?
You might want to check on that.
Yes. Well, I'm still waiting for, you know, shows to happen again. It's terrible. I mean, we're all in the same kind of boat, you know?
Yeah, we are. They won't even let me back in the country, barely. I mean, I have a passport.
My gosh. You mean back in America or back in Canada?
In Canada. They're very, they take it very seriously, which is great. They've been, you know, really diligent about protocols up there. And, you know, the borders shut down to incoming citizens of the U.S. So, yeah, it's I never thought in a million years we'd still be discussing this in October. Did you?
I know. Absolutely not. It's just, it's very disheartening, and it's, you know, it's tough to know. We just have to take one day at a time. That's, you know, every time I think about the future, I start getting, my anxiety really kicks in.
Yeah, I think that probably goes for everybody, and I can't imagine the long-lasting effects this pandemic is going to have on people emotionally, psychologically, financially. And all of it ties together because it creates such stress in your life. And I'm finding, you know, trying to feel motivated to do something because I'm so used to touring. And it's disheartening because I want to write songs, but I really want to be on stage. So I'm like, well, maybe I should write songs instead. And then you got to write on Zoom, and it's dropouts and technical difficulty. It's hard to figure out what to do right now.
Yeah. Oh, totally agree with you. Because you have to just like make yourself do something and find the motivation so much more, you know? It's for me, I just find like my album's coming out this Friday, October 16th, and there's so many things that I want to do for it that I can't do, and it's like you're putting it out into this vortex in a way because you don't have that human connection, and you know you're not going to be sitting at a merch desk talking to your fans about the new music, and it's just, yeah, it's everything that comes along with it. It's really messes with your mind and your emotions, like you said.
Speaking of your new album, it's called Sometimes, and it's your first new album in 6 years.
Yes.
It features a lot of new songs and some reimagined versions of your hits. And there's a little something for everybody here. So talk about how it all came together.
Well, when we started this, of course, we had no idea that what was coming in 2020, but last year I sang with Lauren Elena on the ACM's Lifting Lives part of the show where they paired us together. And I just loved it so much that I said I should record this because this year is the 20th anniversary of my first album, Shiver. So I sang it with her. I was like, you know what? Now it's got me thinking, who else can I sing these hits with, or who else could collaborate with me on the album? And I feel like I was very fortunate. The silver lining about 2020 was that some people were off the road to where they had the time to do the collaboration, like Martina McBride, Sarah Evans, our friend we were just talking about, and John Paul White. You know, if they had been really super busy, they probably wouldn't have had the time. So I feel really lucky in that one aspect.
Well, silver linings, I think we're all trying to find those right now. And yes. Yeah, it's tough, but I'm glad you're being positive about it and finding, you know, some good in all of it, and that you got these guests in there on the album. Now, did they record their parts individually, separately in their own studios at home? Or I know Martina, you know, got one in her family. So.
Yes.
Pretty big one.
Yes. Well, the only one who didn't was Sarah. She and I were in the studio together, but yes, Martina and John Paul is actually in Alabama. And then Lauren Elena has a vocal studio set up at home. So they did theirs on their own. And then if we were missing anything, we just went back, you know, and said, can you do this? Can you do that? But for the most part, it was just, they made it so easy, you know.
Right.
They're such great, amazing, unique artists. I mean, I feel like I'm so lucky because it made me fall in love with the songs again. Because after you're singing them for so long, it's like, oh, I got to sing this again. But then when I heard them sing it, it's like, oh, my gosh, this sounds so amazing. I love this song again, you know.
Well, it probably reignites your passion for it because it's a fresh perspective. And you feel some of what you felt the first time you heard it. Like, you know,
right.
You said, There Is No Arizona is 20 years old, and Lauren Elena was 5 when this song was out. So she's probably looking at it through different eyes than you are, which is bringing a new perspective for you as well.
I think so. And I think, you know, we both kind of have some soul to our voice. So those ad-libs that we're doing, it's like kind of took over the song. You know, we did that live where I said, you know, I'll just start with an ad lib and then you jump in and then I'll jump in. And we just kind of sang off the cuff. It wasn't anything planned. And then I think, you know, when we were recording, it was that same vibe of, you know, she said, I'll just send you a bunch of ad libs and you can put them where you want. And the same for me, you know, I'd already done mine and then sent it to hers and to her. And then it just worked so well because I think we both kind of probably come from a place of singing all kinds of music. I mean, I've been in so many different bands, from gospel to practically bluegrass and rootsy to funk and soul and then, you know, country, that I always wrote country music. But the bands that I've been a part of have done all kinds of music, and I can tell Lauren Elena has as well.
Well, Lauren and I did the Opry together last spring with Ashley McBride, and she is a powerful singer. So
yeah,
having the
really
two of
is.
You together on one track must be amazing because you're a powerful singer.
Thank you.
That had to have been a lot of fun to record that with her.
It really was. The whole thing has been great.
It also features Martina McBride, which you mentioned, and she's singing on When I Think About Angels with you. When did you first meet Martina?
Well, we went on the Girls' Night Out tour in 2001, and so I had never met her until going on that tour, and there I am. I mean, I've got photos of my face looking just like shocked and filled with glee, because I'm standing there with Reba and Martina, and everyone's discussing what the medley, the finale is going to look like when we all come out on stage together, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening to me. So it was then that I first met her on tour, and she was so sweet and just really, really kind. And they're, you know, both of those artists are so giving. You know, there's no, you're not up on stage with divas and people who make you feel like, oh, you know, don't overstep any boundaries, because sometimes that can happen, but not with them. And Sarah was it was just a fun, really fun tour, and we just had a ball together.
Well, it seems like it formed friendships that have lasted a lifetime. And, you know, and these are some of the same people you've got on your new album. Let's talk about Sarah's Instagram show, Closet Chaos, because she sings
yes.
with her daughter, Olivia, and you sing with your daughter, Aaliyah. And you sing with your daughter, Aaliyah. So what's that like? You two must have a lot in common.
We do. Well, I love Sarah, and I've been on her show as well, and she's so much fun, and I just love the way those two, you know, their personalities together, she and Olivia, her daughter, Because they remind me of Aaliyah and myself, but Aaliyah wouldn't be in the closet with me for 5 minutes. She'd be like, I'm getting away from you. She wouldn't want to be on a show with me. I'm not cool enough for her, you know. You can tell Olivia really respects her mom, and I'm still lacking that respect around here.
Well, they act like sisters almost. I did the show a couple weeks ago with them, and they're so cute. They're like a couple of little girls at a sleepover singing songs into the curling iron. I mean, they're just like, but they sing great. I mean, we didn't sing like that during slumber parties. They were so good. They sound great together. But I just found they had such a cute, cool friendship, daughter, mother-daughter rapport. It was really fun.
They really do. And you can tell Sarah's music has influenced what Olivia listens to and what she's grown up hearing, but that's not the case with me. I don't have that much influence over what my daughter listens to. I have one child, and for her, the rest of the world just orbits around what she does and what she likes. And so when she gets into the car, it's so amazing to me. I'm like, I think that I have control over certain aspects of my life, and when it comes to everything I do around her, she completely takes over, and I have to sit there and listen to whatever she wants to listen to, which is not how I grew up, because I grew up in an RV with my parents on the road. And so everything we heard was whatever my dad wanted to hear, whether it was Roy Clark or, you know, Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin brothers. I mean, that's how I grew up, but not my daughter. She's just completely lived in her streaming world where she just puts on whatever she wants and becomes her own DJ. And she wouldn't have a clue. We would never be able to spontaneously start singing a song because I wouldn't know her music and she wouldn't know mine, which I know is probably strange to say.
I think it would still be fun to see you two on Closet Chaos with Sarah and her daughter.
Yes, we should do that for sure. But Aaliyah is singing on my album with me on Somebody's Hero.
Oh, and amazing.
Yeah, she was 2 when that video was made. She was in the video. And now here she is singing it as a duet. So she has a really, really powerful voice. Sings really high. She can sing higher than me in her chest voice. Wow. So it was really an honor to have her on there because, again, it gave the song a whole new meaning for me because we've gone from baby stuff all the way through to 17 now. And it's, you know, life has completely changed. So I look at that song in a totally different way than when we wrote it.
I'm sure you do. I mean, time, where does it go? It just seems to fly by.
I know.
How did making this album differ from making Shiver? Do you have a home studio that you recorded in? Or, I mean,
yes.
I find we record very differently now than we did back then.
I know. Well, you know, again, we finished it in the pandemic, and that was, again, a silver lining, I guess, because I could completely immerse myself in being creative. And you know what they say about idle hands? Because we were so busy, that was taking up my time doing something that I loved versus what am I going to do with myself today? You know, I mean, it's like some of us feel like what it would feel like if you were retired almost, you know? And it's not fun. It's not fun because we're, you know, doers, and we like to go and be on the road and experience new things, meeting new people and playing different shows and seeing our band and all that kind of thing. So it has been isolating, but at least I'm getting the album done has been. But now that it's finished, now I'm facing those feelings, you know? But it has been like farming out instead of going into the studio or having someone come over. It's been like sending it to someone and saying, okay, I need this, or, you know, can you put a solo on this, or can you replay this, or, you know, just it's been more like that kind of thing, communicating with the studio musicians and then sending the tracks to them. I mean, we have tracked during the pandemic, and that was strange. Everyone wore masks and everyone stayed in their booths. Nobody was out there high-fiving going, oh, what about that lick I just played? Woo! None of that was going on. It was all very, very quiet and sterile and just like felt really strange, you know?
Are we in surgery or are we making a record?
Exactly.
When I did the opera the other night, I walked out and said, you all look like you're about to go into surgery. Or or rob a bank. I'm really not sure which.
But, yeah, no kidding. God.
So you mentioned earlier about, you know, the tour with Sarah and Martina and Reba. And there are several pictures of you out there, all the three of you from the tour in 2001. What was Reba a big influence on you, as she has been on most of us?
Oh, absolutely. I used to go see her with my aunt to Twitty City.
Twitty City.
Remember Twitty City?
Yes.
And she had that big red hair. And I'll never forget, like, the gold lame pants and the sequins. And I was like, I want to be just like Reba. I want to have big hair. And I want to have spandex. Can I have spandex, please?
Those were her spandex days. I remember the big belt buckle and jeans days. So that's kind of the look I was emulating in high school to be Reba Rodeo.
Yeah.
That period. Yeah.
Right, right.
What's your favorite song of hers, if you could pick one?
I think You Lie.
Oh, man. Do you sing that? Have you tried to sing that song? Thank God you're a good singer if you do, because it's way up there.
It's hard. I don't know if she is still singing that at her show every night, but that's one of my favorites. I just think it's so amazing. And of course, everybody loves Fancy. And the lights went out in Georgia. I love that one too.
You know, I go so far back to things like You Lift Me Up to Heaven and There Ain't No Future in This and I'm Not That Lonely Yet and really early, her Mercury days. Those are some of my favorite Reba records, and I'm sure she never wants to hear them again at this point, but I loved the really, really early stuff from her so much. It was so influential on me, but she's just been such a force and such an influence and mentor to so many of us that we love Reba for president.
Absolutely. I totally go for that.
Is there anything else you want to add, Jamie, that you want to get in here that I may have missed before we go on here and with our day?
I don't think so. I mean, basically this is all about the album coming out, and I have nothing else to say because there's nothing, no shows, no touring.
Okay, so let me ask one more question then. If your fans want to find Sometimes and they want to get physical copies, where can they get their physical copies?
On Amazon and on my website.
Okay, so
I'm sure there's other places too, but I know right now you've been able to pre-order it for the last like 3 or 4 weeks.
Great.
Definitely can get it on Amazon, and other than that, I can't think off the top of my head, but the
And when you get back on the road, you'll be selling it at your merch table, and it's also on all the streaming platforms like Spotify and all of
absolutely,
those things,
yeah. Great. Yeah, there's actually like 5 new songs that are out on all streaming platforms. And then, of course, it all comes out Friday.
Great. Well, congratulations on Sometimes, your first new album in 6 years. I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to hear the whole thing. And I know everybody out there listening to this show is going to go and listen to it, order it, download it. You're one of the best singers in our format, and I'm happy to get to talk to you twice now in 6 months. This is a treat. Thanks, Jamie O'Neill, for being here.
Thank you, Terry. Thanks for having me on, and I can't wait for you to hear the album, and you take care, and I thank you so much, and I hope to see you on the road sometime soon, too.
I hope to see any of us on the road sometime soon.
I know.
All right, Jamie, you take care, and we'll talk soon, okay?
You too. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Country Gold with Terry Clark.